We've talked about attaching souls. Now let's talk about earthbound souls, because there's actually quite a few souls around that are not currently in a body that can affect us one way or another. So here's the protocol. Are there any earthbound souls drawing energy from the client? And if yes, how many? If there are earthbound souls, you also want to ask, are any of the earthbound souls independent? And if the answer to that is yes, you want to ask, are any of the earthbound souls disruptive? Now, the next question is for just earthbound souls. If they're independent or disruptive, you don't need to ask this, but if you do have an earthbound soul, you can ask, are they a family member, male, female? Are they one generation removed, two generations removed, same generation, just to narrow it down a little bit. But we only ask that for earthbound souls, independent and disruptive earthbound souls. We don't ask that question. So, earthbound souls are souls that did not cross over appropriately because of traumatic death, fear of death, unexpected death, or attachment to their physical existence. They just didn't want to leave their bodies. Now they are stuck and confused. They literally do not know they are dead. If you watch the movie The Sixth Sense, they got it exactly right. If you've never seen that movie, I suggest you watch it if you want to understand earthbound souls, because they are really exactly correct. These souls are so confused. They are stuck on the physical plane, but they're not in a physical body. They just never transitioned out of the physical. So they don't have a body. They have no access to vital force energy. They think they're still alive. And so they are really a little bit of a mess, and they're in a bit of a pickle, quite frankly, because they are in between and they have to be cleared so that they can move into their next experience appropriately. The thing is, they don't have access to their own vital force energy. So they have to attach to a living being. Usually, that is a family member. Now, when I say family member, understand it might not be a literal family member. Occasionally, you will find that earthbound souls can be attached to someone who was like a sister to them or like a parent to them. That can happen, but there will have been this close, almost familial relationship. But an earthbound soul is always someone that the client knew if that soul is attached to them and drawing vital force energy from them. So that's really important. There has to have been some sort of personal relationship. You can investigate who the soul might be, but it's always going to be someone the client knew personally in this lifetime. And we only need to do that for earthbound souls. Now, it's never appropriate for earthbound souls to remain attached to us. Occasionally, clients may actually be reluctant to let their earthbound souls go. They may find comfort in feeling grandma's presence. But please make it clear to the client that they're actually preventing grandma from moving forward into her next experience. And it's really selfish not to clear these earthbound souls. I had a neighbor like that. She had her grandmother's earthbound soul hovering. She told me about it. She knew about it. I'm like, we can move grandma on. Oh no, don't do that. I like her around. I'm like, and I explained it to her, and she still wanted grandma to stay, which is sort of mind-boggling to me, but hey, free will. So earthbound souls don't actually ever guide us, nor are they ever a positive influence. They actually drain our energy, but they do it very inspecifically. So they don't run programs. They are also always a present life phenomenon. So understand that earthbound spirits are not the same as communicating with the souls of transitioned loved ones that have a different perspective. They have a different view of us and their past. And so there's value in communicating with those transitioned souls if the relationship feels incomplete and all of that. And that's mediumship, right? But earthbound souls are really just confused. They are stuck. They don't have any guidance to offer us because, quite frankly, they need help. I mean, they're just not in a good place. So they're never a good source of guidance or anything like that. So there's really no good reason for them to stay. Now, some earthbound souls stick around for so long that they eventually learn to draw energy from their environment. So instead of just drawing energy from a family member, they learn to draw energy from other people and just their environment in general. And therefore, they gain a level of independence. Independent earthbound souls have been stuck between the physical and spiritual plane for a very long time. They're not selective about who they attach to, and they can move about from place to place. Now, generally, the way we come by an independent earthbound soul is attaching to us is if we choose to live in a place where there's already an independent earthbound soul and there's enough vibrational likeness that they might attach to us personally. It happens really rarely. They don't run specific programs. They're just another low-level energy drain, and there's no need to find out who the soul is because there's just no personal relationship to the client. It just so happens that vibrational likeness allowed for that to take place. Now, disruptive earthbound souls are a little bit different because sometimes independent earthbound souls will gain enough power to actually move energy. Or even materialize, as in, you know, they can make themselves seen at least a little bit. They can make noises, maybe even move objects. So they've really learned how to move physical energy. And they gather a lot of energy from their environment by creating disruption. That's why we call them disruptive earthbound souls. Now, they have a very confusing, erratic energy pattern. It can be hard to concentrate or focus or keep things organized with a disruptive earthbound soul about. Usually, disruptive earthbound souls attach to environments rather than people. Now, they will draw vital force energy from the people in their environment, but they don't run specific programs. They just create a whole lot of chaos and disruption. And if we have one in our environment, they can draw on our energy, but usually they just create, like, they cause messes. If you move into a place that has a disruptive earthbound soul, first of all, chances are you're attracted to that place because you're already in a little bit of chaos and disruption, right? Like attracts like. There's no accidents as to why we choose the places we live in. But suddenly, it becomes even harder to keep things organized. It becomes harder to concentrate. It becomes harder to focus. When we're doing a personal session for someone, finding a disruptive earthbound soul is exceedingly rare. We come across them more when we talk about properties, which we'll do later on. Personally, they don't really attach to us that much, but one of your clients could be so affected that it will show up energetically in your session with them. So just because a disruptive earthbound soul shows up doesn't necessarily mean it's like a personal attachment. It's just usually that there is one in the environment and your client is really being affected. Again, there's no reason to find out who that soul might be because there's just no personal relationship. It's just geography. So let's talk about thought forms next. The protocol is, are there any negative thought forms influencing the client? And if yes, how many? Are they directed at the client? Created about the client or created by the client? Are there any anger spirits directed at the client? And if you've got thought forms directed at or created about or anger spirits, you can also ask, are these directed or created by a family member, a friend, a coworker, a client? It's usually just one person. You can sort of narrow it down. Very often, once you narrow it down, your client will have a good idea of where it's coming from. Now let's talk about negative thought forms. We're constantly creating thoughts, right? All day long we're thinking. So idle thoughts arise. If we don't continue to send them energy, they dissipate very, very quickly. So thoughts, they come, they go. But if we give thoughts energy repeatedly over time, they actually take fourth dimensional form of sorts in our mental energy body. They actually get some substance. Thought forms are dependent on our mental energy, so we have to keep thinking them, all right? But they can last for decades if they're continuously fed by our thoughts and our attention. And there are some very old thought forms in our mental energy bodies, believe me. I mean, there are some thoughts we keep thinking about the same things again and again in the same way. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, as human beings, though, we also tend to have thoughts and opinions about one another. And the more we know someone, the stronger those opinions are. And a lot of us spend an extraordinary amount of time and mental energy on other people. What they should or shouldn't be doing, according to us, of course. Why they are to blame, why they're incompetent, why they don't deserve that promotion. That kind of thing. Obviously, most of these thoughts just dissipate as we move on with our lives, and hopefully we focus on our own experience, and very frequently we create thought forms regarding other people that change a lot, so we're not necessarily consistent. So again, thoughts, you know, they come, they go, they dissipate very, very quickly. However, sometimes we get very preoccupied mentally with specific people. A coworker that really pushes our buttons, a neighbor that's really rude, or a competitor whose success really just annoys us. And if we keep directing the same negative thoughts at the same person over and over again, what can happen is that thought will take form, and so then we're directing negative thought forms at them. Now, remember, in order for thought forms to really be created, to gain substance, they need to be nurtured continuously. So some people really kind of in their heads obsess about other people. That coworker is sitting 5 desks away that just is annoying, and they're like, ah, I can't believe she's always on the phone. I can't believe, blah, 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 right? I mean, there are people who really have nothing better to do with their mental energy than direct it outward, and often they get into this pattern that just is on repeat. Stuck. And once a thought has form, it tends to attract like thoughts. So the more we think something, the more we're likely to continue thinking it. Now, most of the time, someone can direct negative thought forms at us all day long, and it doesn't actually affect us one little bit. Remember, nobody can do anything to us. Nobody can do anything to us ever. But problems can arise when we uphold the possibility that the negative thought form being directed at us might be true. If there's a vibrational match within our own mental body for that thought form. So here's someone directing a thought form into our mental body. Normally, it just bounces right off. If there's just no vibrational match, it just dissipates, whatever, right? But if we've got matching thought forms already going on, now those thoughts can be attracted to one another, and now a negative thought form that's directed at us can actually start affecting us. So if someone's directing a negative thought form, for example, of undeservingness at us, and we're already kind of worried about whether we really deserve that promotion at work that we got, we're already kind of going, I wonder why I got that. Do I really deserve it? Can I handle it? Well, now the thought form directed at us can take up residence in our mental body because there's enough vibrational likeness. So this negative thought form is now being nurtured not just by the person directing it, but we've bought into it. So what may have just been a fleeting concern on our part suddenly becomes true for us. For example, if someone directs the negative thought form at us that we're incompetent and we occasionally question our own competence, suddenly we end up believing, oh my God, I am incompetent. So when a negative thought form is directed at us, we end up believing it to be true even when it's not. And of course, then it starts shaping our choices. Because whatever we believe to be true is how we act in life. It really shapes what we choose for ourselves. And if we believe we're incompetent, it's going to shape our choices. We may start covering up things. We may start being more pretentious. We may start telling half-truths because we're trying to cover up some incompetence that's not even there. So now this negative thought form starts really affecting us because we start buying into it in a big way. Now, eventually, thought forms directed at us can gain enough strength to be perceived by other people. So these forms can grow. And, you know, the truth is that our mental energy field is pretty public. I mean, if you're around someone and they're angry, you can tell. It just comes right off of them, right? That's just our mental energy field. All of us can perceive each other's mental energy field. Well, the thing is, if there's a negative thought form that's really powerful that says, I might be really incompetent, at some point other people are going to start picking up on that because it just becomes part of our presence. So our coworkers will suddenly get the impression that we're incompetent, even though it's still not true. So now the directed thought form becomes a thought form that is created about us. So that's the difference. A thought form that's created about us can be perceived by others. The mental energy is loud enough that other people will notice it and pick up on it. Now, obviously, this situation will truly have us questioning our own reality because now other people are treating us like we're incompetent. Great. What are we supposed to believe? So this way we really go down the rabbit hole. We really, really do. So negative thought forms can really affect us significantly. Now, most clients won't present with many, maybe one, two at most. It doesn't happen that often. Most of your clients won't present with any that are directed at them or created about them. But still, we can also create negative thought forms about ourselves. So if we're constantly thinking that we're unlovable, this thought will eventually gain strength and take up permanent residence as a form in our mental body. Thought forms we create ourselves just become true for us. They're part of how we shape our reality, which can be a very, very good thing. If we think highly of ourselves, if we think that we're intelligent and competent and wise and knowledgeable, this is all good. We want those positive thought forms in our mental body because they help shape our reality. But of course, because we live in a world of polarity, that mechanism can also go the other way. So a negative thought form that we create is always going to be one that does not affirm the truth of our divine soul blueprint. Now, a negative thought form is either directed at us or created about us or created by us. It can't be all three. It's just one of those options. They're fairly common, but you really wouldn't expect to find more than two or three in total. And you will find clients without any negative thought forms present. Remember, nobody can do anything to us by directing thought forms at us. If they affect us, these thought forms simply highlight what we already think about ourselves. So again, we are responsible. If there's not enough likeness for their thought form to take hold, it just wouldn't. So if someone directs thought forms at you that you're an attention seeker, and nothing in you thinks of yourself as an attention seeker, the thought form just bounces right off of your mental body and has zero effect on you. Now, thought forms directed and created about us is one of the reasons many people have difficulty living in the public eye. Insecure people have a hard time generating lots of public attention because if you're putting yourself out there publicly, people have thoughts about you. It's only natural. We're humans. We think about others. We judge them. Oh, you know, from, ooh, I like that shirt to, ooh, what is she wearing? I mean, it just goes on and on. So when you're putting yourself in front of thousands of people, if someone starts really following you, becoming a fan or a hater for that matter, right, and they keep directing the same thoughts at you, I mean, the likelihood of someone doing that when you're in front of thousands of people is just greater. So now, of course, if you're really secure about yourself, it's fine. But if there's any insecurities, it can become very hard for us to put ourselves out in public because that's a lot of mental energy coming our way. And that's why generally we have to build up our confidence and we put ourselves out there slowly. And so if you're an entrepreneur, you're marketing yourself, you're a transformational expert, you know, we build our business and our following and our list slowly, almost because we have to. Because we have to get rid of any insecurities that are there before we can go bigger. And that's a really important thing because otherwise negative thought forms can really affect us. And you can sometimes see it with celebrities if they come out really fast and they get a lot of fame and acclaim quickly, or if someone becomes like an overnight YouTube sensation, sometimes they completely lose it. They really do. And it's often because of this. So you can use your programs and energetic statements chart to douse for the energetic quality of the specific negative thought form being directed at or created about or created by your client. Now, please be disciplined and specific. We only want one energetic quality for each thought form. one. That is part of your frame of reference. We just want one. Why? Because it doesn't help your client to give them a list of three. We want to be specific, and that way your client goes, oh, yes, I totally get what you're talking about. I do feel fearful all the time for no reason. Right? Whereas if you told them it was fearfulness, victimization, and shame, now they're like confused. So just for it, more is not better. Volume is not value. A lot of what makes our work so transformational is the specificity. So just pick one energetic statement. All right. When you douse through your chart, we just want one answer. Negative thought forms generally show up as standalone issues, so they're not part of a bigger story or anything, and they're always present life. Always. Obviously, they are also not an attachment mechanism. They're not, all right? So I just want to stress that. They're always present life because thought forms are not maintained when our mental body dissipates. When we die, we don't take our mental body with us. And occasionally, they can be part of a larger present life issue, but they're always present life only. And again, they do not serve as an attachment mechanism. So another soul cannot attach to our vital force energy through negative thought forms. Now, anger spears are a specific kind of negative thought form. And so we handle them a little separately. They get directed at us always. They are very intense concentrations of anger hurled at us by someone who perceives that we hurt them or wronged them in some way. Clients with anger spears will feel threatened or under the gun for no obvious reason that they can tune into, but they'll feel like someone's mad at them all the time because someone is. And when negative thought forms and anger spears are present, we do ask who is generating them. Is it a family member, friend, or a coworker? We don't want to get too specific. With negative thought forms, if you give the client the energetic statement of that thought form and you say it's coming from a coworker and you've really bought into it, they'll be like, oh, I totally know who it is. They generally know. Same thing with a family member. We don't have to get too specific because you don't know the specifics of your client's life. And we're reading the energy of the Akashic records. It's not like we're looking at their third dimensional experience. We're looking at them fifth dimensionally. So we can get the energy of who's involved, but you know, you won't be able to pick up a name or anything from the Akashic records. So please don't try. Remember, we're looking at the energetics of the situation at the fifth dimensional level, which is different from the density of the third dimension. So just give the client a general idea, they will usually know. What now with anger spears, it's actually easier for the client to know. Generally, the client knows who's truly pissed at them because someone is. I mean, anger spears are really angry energy. You don't need to douse for their energetic statement, of course, because it's just anger. And, you know, if you'd say to someone, you know what, it looks like a family member is really just throwing a lot of energy of anger your way, they're going to be like, oh yeah, that's my sister. They already know. And we can clear this, and it just allows the client the opportunity to shift their own thoughts. Because the thing is, like, anger spears can only be upheld in our mental body if we think we've done something wrong to that person. There's always a little bit of guilt there that allows for an anger spear to be received. So again, then the client has the opportunity to choose what to do about that guilt. Maybe they do have to make amends. Maybe they have to make a new choice in relation with that person, right? Maybe they have to reimburse the neighbor for that broken fence that the neighbor is mad at them about, or whatever it is, right? So it really gives the client an opportunity to investigate within themselves how they've allowed to let these thought forms take hold in their mental body. And so you want to communicate it that way with your client, right? Just don't allow them to think for a second that, you know, oh, it's my coworker's fault. It's my family member's fault. They're throwing this energy my way, and that's why I'm feeling this way. Make sure that you point out to the client what their responsibility in the situation is.